Chapter 20. As I caught no custom signal, heard no voice call, nor found her there. And now I gat the globe day, night, and any time, to light upon her hiding unaware, and, maybe, I shall nigh me to some nymph niche, and find her there. But how, said I, has your so little lifetime given roomage for such loving, loss, despair? A boy so young. Forthwith I turned my lantern upon him there. His head was white. His small form, fine aforetime, was shrunken with old age and battering wear. An 80-years-long plodder saw I pacing beside me there. The sun's last look on the country girl, M.H. The sun threw down a radiant spot on the face in the winding sheet the face it had lit when a babe's in its cot. And the sun knew not, and the face knew not that soon they would no more meet. Now that the grave has shut its door, and lets not in one ray, do they wonder that they meet no more that face and its beaming visitor that met so many a day? December 1915. In the London flat, you look like a widower, she said through the folding doors with a laugh from the bed, as he sat by the fire in the outer room, reading late on a night of gloom, and a cab hack squeeze, and the clap of its feet and its breathless pace on the smooth wet street, were all that came to them now and then. Dot, you really do, she quizzed again. Two, and the spirits behind the curtains heard, and also laughed, amused at her word, and at her light-hearted view of him. Let's get a maid so just for a whim, said the phantom ironic. 'Twould serve her, right if we coaxed the will, to do it some night. Oh pray not, pleaded the younger one, the sprite of the pities. He said it in fun. Three, but so it befell, whatever the cause, that what as he had called him, he next year was. And on such a night, when she lay elsewhere, he, watched by those phantoms, again sat there, and gazed, as if gazing on far faint shores, at the empty bed through the folding doors as he remembered her words, and wept that as he had forgotten them where she slept. Drawing details in an old church, I hear the bell rope sawing, and the oilless axle grind, as I sit alone here drawing what some gothic brain designed. And I catch the toll that follows from the lagging bell, ere it spreads to hills and hollows, where the parish people dwell. I ask not whom it tolls for, incurious who he be. So, some morrow, when those knolls for one unguessed, sound out for me, a stranger, loitering under a neighbor choir, may think to, whose, I wonder, but care not to inquire. Rachel muses, yes. Since she knows not need, nor walks in blindness, I may without unkindness a true thing tell. Which would be truth, indeed, though worse in speaking, were her poor footsteps seeking a pauper's cell. I judge, then, better far she now have sorrow, than gladness that tomorrow might know its knell. It may be men there are, could make of union a lifelong sweet communion a passion spell. But I, to save her name, and bring salvation by altar affirmation and bridal bell, I, by whose rash unshame these tears come to her, my faith would more undo her than my farewell. Chained to me, year by year my moody madness would wither her old gladness like famine fell. She'll take the ill that's near, and bear the blaming. 'Twill pass. Full soon her shaming they'll cease to yell. Are unborn, first her moan, will grow her guerdon, until from blood and burden a joyance swell, and that there she'll own my good part wholly, my evil staining solely my own vile veil. Of the disgrace, may be he shunned to share it, being false, they'll say. I'll bear it, time will dispel the calumny, and prove this much about me, that she lives best without me who would live well. That, this once, not self-love, but good intention pleads that against convention we two rebel. For, is one moonlight dance, one midnight passion, a rock whereon to fashion life's citadel? Prove they their power, to prance life's miles together from upper slope, to nether who trip an ell? Years hence, or now apace, may tongues be calling news of my further falling sinward pell-mell. Then this great goodwill grace our lives division, she saved from more misprision, though I plumb hell. 189. The color the following lines are partly made up, partly remembered from a Wessex folk rhyme. What shall I bring you? Please will white do best for your wearing the long day through? White is for weddings, weddings, weddings. White is for weddings, and that won't do. What shall I bring you? Please will red do best for your wearing the long day through? Red is for soldiers, soldiers, soldiers. Red is for soldiers, and that won't do. What shall I bring you? Please will blue do best for your wearing the long day through? Blue is for sailors, sailors, sailors. Blue is for sailors, and that won't do. What shall I bring you? Please will green do best for your wearing the long day through? Green is for mayans, mayans, mayans. Green is for mayans, and that won't do. What shall I bring you then? Will black do best for your wearing the long day through? Black is for morning, morning, morning. Black is for morning, and black will do. Murmurs in the gloom, nocturne. I wayfare that the natter of the sun where populations meet, though seen of none, and millions seem to sigh around, as though their haunts were nigh around, and unknown throngs to cry around of things late done. O seers, who well might I in sample show, came throbbing past in plain song small and slow, eaters who lead us aimlessly, teachers who train us shamelessly, why let ye smolder flamelessly the truths ye trow? Ye scribes, that urge the old medicament, whose fusty vials have long dried impotent, why prop ye meretricious things, denounce the sane as vicious things, and call out worn factitious things expedient? O dynasties that sway, and shake us so, why rank your magnanimity so low, that grace can smooth no waters yet, but breathing threats and slaughters, yet ye grieve earth's sons and daughters yet as long ago? Live there no heedful ones of searching sight, whose accents might be oracles, that smite to hinder those who frowardly conduct us, and untowardly, to lead the nations vowardly from gloom to light? September 22, 1899. Epitaph. I never cared for life. Life cared for me, and hence I owed it some fidelity. It now says, cease. At length thou hast learned to grind. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.